So this year is obviously is all this year we're being dedicated in memory of David Schwartz, Hashem Yikom Damav, who fell in battle a little bit before you guys came in February. Even he fell a little bit beforehand, and he was very committed to this year in yeshiva. I remember even during Zoom, he'd make sure the year took place during the Corona days. Okay, so we're discussing today two aspects of Chassidus. One is, how does Chassidus differentiate between Torah and mitzvahs? How do we differentiate between Torah and mitzvahs? Do you see them as equivalent? Do you see them as different experiences? Do you frame them differently? The second issue is, how does Chassidus, or how does this Vasanas, I'm not sure how central this is to Chassidus, how does he view changing your past, changing failure, changing bad midos? And what does it have to do with emun and belief in Hashem? We know what it has to do with development and moral development, but what does this have to do with faith in Hashem? So let's start with the first part, okay? The Torah in Parshat Tzav has a very bold introduction. Remember, Tzav is the second set of instructions. Vayikra is the first set of instructions. The second set of instructions is Tzav. They seem to be very redundant because they all talk about the same korbanos. The answer is Vayikra is a set of instructions of korbanos directed at Am Yisrael. Tzav is a set of korbanos instructions directed at Aaron. Tzav is Aaron to the Kohanim. So Am Yisrael has its list of korbanos, and the Kohanim have their list of korbanos. Okay, the very first korban described in Parshat Tzav is the korban Ola. It's a very bold introduction. Tzav is Aaron v'sbanav le'mar zos toras ha'ola. Okay, so tell me a little bit about Ola. Tell me which animals can be brought as an Ola. Tell me how you bring an Ola. This is how Vayikra introduces Ola. Yet here in Parshat Tzav, what is it? Zos taras ha'ola? Hi ha'ola al mokda al ha'mitzbeach kol ha'layla. The animal, because an Ola is completely burned, and some of these body parts take a while to burn. It's not like a shlamim where you just burn the fats and some of the intestines. When it comes to an Ola, you're burning the entire animal, all the body parts. It's going to take a long time. Al mokta kol ham al mokta al hamizbeach kol alayl araboker eish hamizbeach tu kadbo v'lovish hakoy midovara mechnesevad yilbasha b'sero veri mesedeshin. So you know how an Ola is being described? Truma sedeshin. So what does that mean? That's what an Ola is, Truma Sedeshin? Truma Sedeshin is the cleanup show. The Ola is the carbon. The Ola is the blood. The Ola is the body parts. By the way, after all these Olos have been on the Mizbeach all night long, someone's got to clean up the Mizbeach. So in the morning, you call the sanitation team to clean up the Mizbeach, and then you can start the next day's Avoda. But this is the epicenter of an Ola. Zos Taras HaOla V'Herim HaSedeshin. So I'll talk about it a little bit tonight in the Musar Chug as to why that's the first thing that happens every morning, and so why it's the first thing that happens every morning, and why the Torah centralizes it. But for the Sfas Emes, lifting ashes, Truma Sedeshin, not just cleaning ashes, but lifting ashes, is iconic. Where do the ashes come from? What creates the ashes? And why is lifting ashes iconic that it's presented in the very beginning of Tzav as the central feature of the Ola? So why do we bring an Ola? When do you bring an Ola? So one of the reasons you bring a Korban Ola, Chazal tell us, is for impure thoughts. If you actually commit an Avera, you bring a Chatas, B'shogeg. If you commit a B'meza, you don't bring a Chatas. But what about impure thoughts? So then you have the right to bring an Ola. An Ola isn't obligatory. That's between a Chatas and an Ola. But if a person feels like they've had bad thoughts and they want to try to atone or purge or cleanse themselves, so obviously looking for catharsis, it's easier to find a ritual to do, not just to say, oh, I'll change my thoughts, but to have a korban to bring and to create accountability. Remember, korbanos created accountability. Could you imagine if every time you violated Shabbos, you had to bring a korban? You wouldn't violate Shabbos that often. I don't mean intentionally, but unintentionally, because it'd be very expensive. At a certain point, you just couldn't keep up with your habit. So you'd have to clean up your act a little bit, learn a little bit more halachah Shabbos, be a little more careful. So the same thing with inappropriate thoughts. If you think inappropriate thoughts and you bring a korban, that serves as a deterrent for the next round. We don't live in that world anymore, which is why for us, unfortunately, the cause and effect of deterrence is less powerful in our lives. So an Ola is being brought for impure thoughts, and the Ola, unlike any other korban, is completely burnt. So the purpose is to try to take those thoughts and burn them out of you and eliminate them and reduce them. The same way the Ola, symbolically, is being reduced to ashes, similarly, your thoughts should be reduced to ashes. But now the question is, what do you do with that? Once you eliminate or you overcome a bad trait, you metaphorically burn it, do you just discard it or do you lift it? the ashes are lifted. And again, obviously the ashes have to be lifted because you have to make room for the next korban. But the fact that there's a mitzvah to lift the ashes, and the fact that the Torah describes lifting of the ashes, vehera misadeshen, we call it truma sedeshen, the fact that you lift the ashes, that to the Sfasemes signifies that you want to look back at your past and take all those bad, toxic traits that you've overcome and burnt, and now lift them and elevate them and raise them and somehow integrate them into your growth. That's one of the big, big questions in Avodas Hashem. When I have a bad trait, do I eliminate it and move on in my past? Or when I have a bad trait, I try to overcome it, but I try to integrate it and incorporate it into my future. What can I learn about myself? What can I learn about Hashem? How can I serve Hashem better? It's a very, very subtle point. You have to work very hard in life to try to find ways to do it. What does it mean? I had a terrible trait. I overcame it. I'm still working to overcome it. What does it mean to turn that trait into part of my Avodas Hashem, part of my religious persona? Should I sever and amputate the past, or should I integrate the past and try to live with those traits in the way I overcame that trait and somehow find in my past misdeeds and my past failures room for growth, meaning in Avodas Hashem, passion in my Avodas Hashem? It could be a million different things, but for Chassidus, it's much more integrative. You don't amputate the past, you lift the past. So you burn the ashes, you burn these negative traits. So what's happening on the Mizbeach is symbolic of what's happening on your heart, because the korban is a product of impure thoughts in your heart, inappropriate thoughts in your heart. Then after you burn it, you try to lift it, the Hera Mesedeshen. Now the question is, why do I try to lift the past? You and I would say, because developmentally it's more holistic. If you completely sever the past, then you forget everything you've lived and all the experiences for naught, and you're just born today. Right? A lot of people have a hard time living in the past. If you live in the past and in the future, you create a continuum where your life is not just today, but your life is the entire summary of everything you have lived as well as everything you will live, right? Dreams and vision and future is also part of your identity, even if they don't come true. It's important to have dreams in life. Hopefully, a very small fraction of your dreams will come true. It sounds very pessimistic. What I really mean to say is hopefully you'll be a big dreamer. If you're a big dreamer, inevitably not all your dreams will come true. So should I dream if it doesn't come true? The answer is of course you should. Because your dreams and your wants and your ambitions, even if they don't come true, they forge your identity. They're part of whom you are. So even if you don't ever, ever finish Shas 50 times, do you dream to finish Shas 50 times or whatever amount of times you want to finish? If you do, then that's part of how you live. So your identity experience is not just in the moment. It's an accumulation of the past and anticipation of the future. And that creates heft and depth and elasticity. You're not just living on March 26th or whatever today is. You're living a larger and deeper experience. But according to Sfas Emes, the need to be meirim the deshen, to lift the deshen, to lift your past failures that you've overcome, is not just developmental, but theological. Okay, so where does this come from? There's a pasuk in Iyov, Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Dalid. Mi yitain tohar mitame Hashem echad. I'm sorry, lo echad. Very, very simple pasuk. Who can make something which is tohar, something which is tame, tohar? Isn't it the one? Isn't it Hashem? Okay, so now there's a lot to unpack here. So I don't know if we'll even get to the rest of the Sfas I wanted to talk about today. It's a very important pasuk. The Gemara says in Erevin that Rav Meir would come into the Beis Medrash and he would tell everyone, and this is how Moshe learned Torah. You see this? It's Tameh. And there are 49 ways to prove that it's Tameh. And you know what else? It's Tahar. And there are 49 flowcharts to arrive at it being Tahar. How can it be Tameh and Tahar? That's a human question. That's not a Hashem question. Your mind's, my mind is binary. It can't be both. Either it's day or it's night. It's night or it's day. It can't be both. But Hashem is not binary. Hashem is beyond binary experience. Hashem is both day and night. Yotzer or avari choshech, osa shalom avari sechol. I promise you that when you get to Olam Haba, you'll understand what I'm talking about a little bit more than right now, because right now I'm trying to explain a non-binary reality to binary processors. On, off, light, dark, day, night, yes, no. So it's not one truth. When we're learning Gemara, we're not sifting through the Gemara to find the one truth. Every single line in Gemara that's accepted is part of Hashem's truth. Halacha is binary. We can only make Kiddush one way. We can only take lulav one way. We have to eat it or not eat it. So when it comes to halacha, we choose a side. We choose an opinion, and we implement that opinion. Niels Bohr. Niels Bohr was the Rebbe of Oppenheimer, if you saw the movie. He was a Dutch physicist. Niels Bohr once said the opposite of a true statement is a false statement. The opposite of a profound statement is another profound statement. So Hashem doesn't deal in true and false. Hashem deals in, and when we say Hashem is echad, we don't just mean he's exclusive. Ein od milvado. When we say Hashem is echad, means he incorporates everything, but within a oneness that we can't imagine. So Hashem can incorporate all the contradictory ideas of Tameh and Tahor into one integrated whole. He's indivisible. Everything in life is divisible. This shirt is divisible. This table is divisible. Your personality is divisible. Atoms are divisible. Hashem is the only being, the only essence, that's indivisible. And he incorporates everything, including things that are different. And then we say every morning, Yotzer of Ari Choshev, which by the way comes from Eov, we're attesting to Hashem's good and evil, because that's what Eov's about, good and evil, suffering and reward. Hashem incorporates everything. So this is a really important pasuk in Eov. I'll say it again. Perek Yud Dalet, pasuk Dalet. Mi yitain tohar mitameh. Who can take tohar from tameh? Lo echad. Isn't it the one? Isn't it Hashem? So this is a pasuk of theology describing Hashem's oneness. By the way, it's also a shout out to Parshas Parah, which is this week's parsha, that person that creates Tara is tameh. And it shows that this is the chachma of Hashem. The person who's creating the Tara for you himself becomes tameh. So in Hashem's world, Tara and Tumah can coexist. In our world, they obviously can't coexist. Okay? That's the pasuk in Eov. Next step. The Medrash interprets this pasuk that Hashem can take Avraham from Terach. And Hashem can take Torah from tameh. So Terach was a tameh person. He was an idol worshiper. Hashem can take. In Chassidus, this pasuk means, now the third level, not just the pasuk and not just the Medrash, but in Chassidus, that if Hashem is everything, then when you sin, listen carefully, here's the theology, it's not because the devil got to you, it's not because the forces of darkness got to you, it's not because something else got to you. There's nothing but Hashem. Hashem is everything, even good and evil, even sin and not sin, even the urges that you have. So that means that when you sinned, it wasn't attributed to some other force, some toxic, negative, satanic, unholy, ungodly force. It was just you weren't able to find Hashem as best as you should have. Which means that looking backwards, retrospectively, that's a moment that you can integrate in your avodas Hashem. If you have a dualistic world in which there's Hashem who's in charge of good, and there's a Satan who's in charge of evil, the forces of light and the forces of good, so I have to escape the forces of darkness, and any time that I fell prey to the forces of darkness, that can't be part of the forces of light and the forces of good. But if Hashem is everything, and incorporates everything, and His oneness incorporates everything, so when I look back at that moment, it's the moment I was standing in front of Hashem, and I just wasn't able to reach Him as best as I could. But it's not like I checked out from Hashem. It's not like I joined another team. It's not like I became part of some other world. It's very subtle, but very important. Meretz Hashem, I hope you won't sin that much in your life. But when you do sin, and it's inevitable, you feel like you're in a different place. You're far away from Hashem. You're serving some other small-g God, some other force. And Chassidus is trying to break. It's called dualism. It's not dualism. Hashem is the full sweep of everything. So it makes it easier when you look back and vice versa. When you take the past and you integrate it, you're affirming that that past is part of you standing in front of Hashem. It wasn't part of some other moment that you were joining another team on some. So the ability to be Merim the Deshen is not just healthy developmentally, not just that your psychologist will tell you, try to look back to your past misdeeds and draw some meaning and draw some value from it. It's also important theologically because you're affirming to yourself that when I failed in the past, it's not like I was checking out from Hashem. Number one. Number two, it's important theologically because you're recreating new potential from the past. And who is the ultimate creator of new potential? Hashem. HaMechadesh B'tuvo B'chayem T'vid Maseh V'Reishis. As if Hashem created a fixed, static world. So that world, where it's past, is past, and I can't change it. So if yesterday, Chas Hashem, I committed a horrible crime, I can't change that crime because it's fixed, because it's static, because it's unchangeable. But if Hashem is constantly recreating the world, and every day is a new Bria, so then you can also recreate the world and you can recreate your past. So recreating your past and turning the past not just into a hurdle that you overcame, but turning the past into something that now could be in your present, part of your Avodas Hashem, is in effect acting like a Kodesh Baruch Hu and reaffirming your belief that if Hashem is recreating, even if I can't recreate, it's a psychological recreation, but yesterday I had a horrible day, but Hashem is recreating a new world today, and by recreating a new world today, that yesterday can have a different. Think about it for a moment. If today's a whole new world, then yesterday's misdeed and yesterday's crime can have a different role, a different function in the new world that was created today. If today was just a continuation of yesterday's world, then that sin has a certain impact that I can't reverse. But if the entire system has been rebooted, then yesterday's failure can be viewed in a different light. So this is, I guess we didn't have time for the second Sfas Emes about Torah and Mitzvos. This is a very, very profound Sfas Emes. I'll start again. Korban Olah is brought for machshavos lo taharos. Whatever those impure machshavos are, they don't have to be lust, they can be jealousy, they can be violence, they can be skepticism and heresy. But any thoughts that a person has that were inappropriate, even if they didn't lead to action, a person has voluntarily the ability to bring a Korban Olah, not voluntarily. Hashem wants you to, but no one's going to force you to, in order to try to cleanse and reach catharsis. So what's happening to the Olah reflects what's happening internally. The Olah is completely burnt. You want to burn or overcome those. But you don't just discard the ashes, you then lift the ashes. And by lifting the ashes, you're trying to lift those past failures, internal failures, and integrate them as part of your continual avodas Hashem. That's why the first avoda in Parshas Tzav is Trumas Hadeshen, lifting the ashes. Lifting the ashes is important developmentally, but for the Tzvos Emes, it's also important theologically, because it highlights two theological truths. Number one, that Hashem is Echad. Mi yitein tar mitame lo echad, the pasuk in Yov. Hashem is Echad, not just exclusive, but Hashem is integrated, indivisible, and all-encompassing. Everything is Hashem. Oh, that means that yesterday it was also part of my relationship with Hashem, and somehow I want to try to integrate that into my current relationship with Hashem. Number two, if Hashem is constantly recreating, and the world is always in a state of flux, the world is always in a state of flux, then yesterday's reality isn't fixed and static, but can be altered into today's new progressive or developmental trajectory. Okay, we'll stop here. I want to talk about Torah and Mitzvot. Talk about some other time, okay? Tomorrow is Rashi, everyone. Parshat Tzav Rashi's, okay? Have a good day, everyone. You're welcome.